Russ Cohen, Coast Hockey Prospects Radio, joining Gord Stellick this afternoon. Russ, you're the last guest of our hockey season. How about that?
I'm hitting cleanup. I like it.
You're like the Bette Midler was for Johnny Carson.
I like it. Yeah. That's good. I feel great about that.
Yeah, I meant it as a compliment. After I said it, I thought, I wonder if he'll take it as a compliment. So,
no, I did.
Hey, you know one little interesting, quirky one going on is the academic entry-level contracts that the top draft picks sign, and it's spelt out. There's a cap. There's a bonus structure. And it's interesting that Austin Matthews is one guy not yet inked because Lou Lamoriello, in some fashion, it's believed, is trying to either figure something out or whatever. Just his belief in not giving, awarding player bonuses. Apparently, he got Adam Larson to forego that in his deal, but also quid pro quo. He got to play in the NHL without playing a year in the American League, like New Jersey players normally do. Mitch Marner got it because they were negotiating with a previous regime. That's a former last year first round pick of the Maple Leafs. This one could be a little bit interesting. I'm certainly under Lou Lamoriello's point, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't see this playing out anywhere else.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the top bonus structure. I think Lou is trying to be Lou, and when it doesn't work, I think, you know, Shanahan will step in and give him the top bonus structure, because at the end of the day, you're negotiating with the guy who could be the number one guy in your organization going forward. And if this is a little rocky, you don't want like real negotiations down the road after his RFA status is gone to get rocky.
So if you're looking next year right off the top, and I think, you know, far too often we see guys that stay up and go back down to junior hockey, which is, you know, quite often the appropriate move. How many guys do you think are locks to play in the NHL, and who are in the iffy category?
I think Matthews and Laine are locks. I think Puljujarvi is pretty close to a lock. I think Sergachev is pretty close to a lock. I think Dubois is in the iffy because it depends whether they'll start him at a wing or in the middle. And there's always going to be another player or two that you don't really see starting that all of a sudden makes it. Like, I don't think it'll be Tkachuk, and I don't think it'll be Keller, because Keller really wants to at least go to a year of college. I kind of got that gist. But there's always somebody else. There's always somebody else that comes in and just wows everybody and gets in there. But I think those guys are the main ones that I'm looking at.
You know, some of the other stories as we go on rounds 2 through 7, that I know it was a couple of weeks ago, but when you look back on it, you look more at those rounds, do you have one or two really intriguing picks that you say, you know, because this is, I was just saying the other day about P.K. Subban, for example, being a second-round pick, Duncan Keith was, you know, guys like that, that ultimately scouts look back. I have no idea, because you never know. At the draft table, sometimes your eyes are focused on somebody else and you're actually disappointed that you didn't get that guy and you picked P.K. or Duncan Keith or whomever. A little element of luck versus, you know, targeting a guy, hoping he's available, and then when he is, you know, you get him, and he all blossoms. And I'm curious if there's a couple of guys that intrigue you that way.
Yeah, I did also want to mention Jacob Chychrun, because Arizona was so high on him in camp, and because he is such a physical specimen, he might be able to get in there, too. Those guys, Pascal LeBerge is one that really sticks to mind, because, again, Flyers fans were sort of focused on Gauthier and Bellows, and Hextall made a trade, and he ended up getting LeBerge in the second round, which early in the second, but everybody thought he was a first-round talent. I just got to watch this kid in camp for, you know, 2 or 3 days and then a scrimmage, and he has exceptional hands and stick and puck control. And pretty much the day after, I was completely thrilled with everything I'd seen from him. They signed him to an entry level. So that just shows you that's a heck of a pick to be able to get in the second round, as an example. Adam Fox, who Calgary got, I really love this kid. I think when a lot of the big defensemen were off the board, he sort of got thrown in the mix because he's a little shorter. But, you know, this kid's in the NTDP. He's fast. He's smart. He's maybe one of the smartest defensemen that's out there. And he makes these great hard passes and can score, and he can play the power play. And I just think they got a real gem in him as well. And so those are two guys that right off the top of my head, I feel like they did well. And I still think the Rangers did well with Sean Day. I mean, I'm not one of these people that carries baggage with them and attaches it to a player. Like, basically now, when Sean Day, to me, became a Ranger, I wiped the slate clean. I say, okay, he's going to be in camp with them. They're going to teach him a philosophy. You know, Jeff Lucabloom has done great things with Rangers defensemen, and he's now an assistant. So he's working with a really good development guy. And I think when he goes back to juniors now, I think the monkey is off his back, and I think we'll see a different player. And I think if he becomes the player that we all thought he could be, that's a heck of a pick in the third round.
Russ Cohen joining us, co-host Hockey Prospects Radio, also in covering the Flyer on Ranger Beach. You touched on the New York Rangers. They're a funny animal in the offseason about getting better or getting back to where they were in the Stanley Cup Final just a couple of years ago. Up against the cap, hard to do some tweaking. What do you like about the team? What do you think needs tweaked?
Well, I think they got JT Miller at a great price, lower than I thought he'd be, something like 2.65, 2.75 per year. And so now that they did that, they'll be able to get Kevin Hayes in, because I was thinking he might get that money or even a little more. So now Hayes will get slotted in under Miller. And I still think they should go after Sam Gagner. Maybe they're waiting for the price to go down. I think he could fill that Dominic Moore role. I think that would be really good for them. But Nick Holden was a good pickup for them, because these days, any depth defenseman that you can get are good. They re-signed Matt Bode, who was really a star in college, and I think he's been improving every year in the AHL, but, you know, it was a little smaller, but now we're starting to see that, hey, the smaller offensive guys, they have a bigger role. So you're noticing around the league, like Carolina retained Ryan Murphy, where if this were 2 years ago, they probably would have dropped Ryan Murphy, but now they're going to relook at him because they see other guys working in that puck possession speed role. And so I think the Rangers could get something out of that. I think ultimately their top six is good. Maybe Buchnevich even cracks the top six, but probably not. He'll probably be a third liner, and that could extend their third line. Fourth line, I think, is going to be a little shaky. I think that's where we're going to have to wait and see what youngsters and what really develops. You know, Nate Gerbe, maybe he'll be a part of that fourth line, and he's certainly a veteran, but I think he's got something to prove. Grabner, probably going to be on the third, but maybe he'll be on the fourth. Certainly with speed, but has to show more finish if he has any more finish in him. And so, you know, the moves were okay, but they're sort of in the middle. Like, I really liked what the Devils did. There were some other teams that I felt like are getting better, and they're maybe staying the same.
What do you think? You know, it's the second wave of free agents out there, some pretty good ones or decent ones kind of waiting there. A guy like Justin Schultz, who decides he wants to stay in a good situation and takes small term and not huge dollars, but understands what he feels Pittsburgh can offer him.
Yeah, and also I had a chance to talk to him before the Cup on that media day, and it was just me and him, and he that was his team growing up. He is a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Like, that was the team he always wanted to play for. And so I think even if there was a team out there that, what did he get? He got like 1.4. If somebody was out there even offering a 1.9 or 2 million, I think he was going to stay with the Cup team anyhow, because that's his team in his heart. So I think ultimately this is a great situation for Pittsburgh, because they get a key piece back that they easily could have lost. And I think it's good for him, because he's in a situation where I think he's only increasing his value. And I'm sure his agent basically said that, listen, you had a really good year last year. You have another year like that, and you go on the free agency market, you'll get some good money.
You know, I mentioned the expectations on the New York Rangers side before we talked about Justin Schultz, but the Philadelphia Flyers side, when I say exceeded expectations, but just, you know, lot more positives in their season. And as far as tweaking goes or what they've done, what have you liked?
What I've liked is, you know, Dave Haxtell spoke the other day, and I think he's even more confident, more set with the team now than he was a year ago. A year ago, he didn't even know the practice schedule when training camp opened. Like, that's how new the job was. So I think you have that. I think the Braden Schenn situation will work itself out. I think the chance of Ivan Provorov making the team is great. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else in camp. But also Travis Sanheim really looked great. And I think he'll start the year for sure in Lehigh, most likely stay there for the year. But this is a kid who's sort of now a little bit flying under the radar because of the shadow that Provorov has cast. So that's kind of helping Sanheim out. And so I think if they had some injuries, he could be there. TJ Brennan is a great guy for them to sign, right? Because we know how well he did with the Marlies. He's a local South Jersey kid here, and if you need to put in a guy for six, eight games every once in a while because somebody's banged up, that's a guy who you can call back and forth. You know, Lehigh Valley is close to where the Flyers play, so that's something they can really utilize. So I think this year, compared to last year, they have more depth on the blue line and more youth, and they're going to have more speed. And I think those things are a big plus because if you remember, last year they were sort of hamstrung. Once Andrew McDonald got sent down, they couldn't bring him back up even if they wanted to because they're having cap problems. And then all of a sudden he was good enough. And then, you know, eventually Gostisbehere got up there. But the cap sort of held them back. They're not in that same cap hell that they were. And I think that's the biggest thing. And then they just have to get Shen signed.
Well, you know, Russ, particularly when you talk about prospects, it is 365 days a year because there's all kinds of summer festivals, camps, you name it, that are going on. So I know basically you say goodbye to one prospect year that still remain prospects, and now you got to get full bore heading ahead all 12 months looking ahead to next year.
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is the time of the year, and people, I think, are starting to get it. Developmental camp is literally just that. It's developmental camp. Nobody is competing against each other yet. They're just trying to learn techniques and finish out their summer training program and get a little better. And now this year, it's going to be a little bit longer, right? So some of these guys, it will benefit. Guys who are pretty close to making a team are literally going to get an extra few weeks to work out that they normally wouldn't have because of everything being pushed back because of the World Cup. So that's a bonus for them. For fans, you know, they're going to have to watch the World Cup and wait on some of these kids. And that the season's going to be a little longer, I think. And so that's a negative for people who want to see some of these kids. But I think that's a big thing. Developmental camp is just that. When rookie camp starts, you know, middle of September, that's when they're starting to compete. That's when some of the guys are looking to make at least the big training camp roster to get a chance. So we're not there yet. And the summer training is huge. Like, I can't put the players get it now. Maybe 10 years ago they didn't, and maybe there wasn't that much emphasis on it. But in the last 5 years, players do now understand that the summer is no longer, you know, going out there and just playing golf every day and having ice cream and hanging out with your buddies. You got to get a lot of training in, too.
Well, we appreciate, like you said, the visits and then a little bit more weekly at a minimum more as we got counting down the draft and other things. You have a great summer. I know a busy summer. Thanks for your time. I know we'll talk to you in the new year, Russ. Thanks a lot.
Yep, definitely will. Thanks, Gord. Always a pleasure.
Russ Cohen.